Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you this birthday week for America 236 from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. In June and July of 2010, I took something called the Next Great Awakening Tour. When the brochure for the Next Great Awakening Tour came across my desk, oh, how I wanted to take it, but I didn't see how I could. I'd push it back, but it always found its way back to the top of its my desk with its inviting lead, an historical tour of Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., including Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. Tour the sites of previous awakenings as we anticipate the next one. It was to be led by David Barton and Dr. Jim Garlow. It would feature guest appearances by outstanding leaders, too numerous to mention. When I finally called about it, I got the last seat available, and tour directors did creative thinking to get me a room. I can't begin to tell you how this tour enhanced what I had studied and showed me so much more. Everything I saw and heard affected me. I can only mention a few things here. Boarding the Mayflower 2, an exact replica of the Mayflower 1, I so appreciated what the pilgrims endured just across the ocean. The Puritans, George Whitefield, and all the Great Awakening preachers, the Patriots, the Founding Fathers. Monmouth Battlefield in the Revolutionary War was next to the old tenant Puritan church. During the battle, the church became a hospital for the wounded. There on one of the pews, we saw a dull red stain that had been authenticated as blood from a Revolutionary War soldier, one who may have died for my freedom. Standing on the Lexington Common, where the first shot of revolution was fired, I was struck by the fact that the colonial militia involved was mostly made up of men from Reverend Jonas Clark's congregation. The church still stands there. This leads me to what was perhaps the most personally impacting fact that I brought back, the place and the spirit of the Black Robe Brigade. And now I'm reading you from a publication. American opinion was largely shaped by the ministers. These men of God were becoming nearly unanimous in their support of resistance. Thanks to the Great Awakening, there was now a whole new generation of committed clergy salted throughout America. As the list of intolerable acts mounted, so did the remonstrations against them. Almost as if the ministers had George III in the front row of their congregations and were trying to make him to see the error of his ways. Many of their sermons were duly printed in town newspapers. Nor were the exhortations of these ministers confined to words. These preachers did not hesitate to put their own lives on the line. Phillips Payson led a band of men from his church in the capture of two British supply wagons. Stephen Farrar brought 97 men from his church to the army assembling at Boston. David Avery of Windsor, Vermont, started his march with 27 men, but his preaching collected more on the way. John Craighead raised a company of militia from his parish and led them to join Washington, where it was recorded that he, quote, fought and preached alternately. So numerous, in fact, were the fighting pastors that the Tories began referring to them as, quote, the Black Robed Regiment, blaming them for much of the resurging zeal of the colonial troops. In the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, one Sunday morning in 1775, the 30-year-old pastor, Peter Muhlenberg, delivered a rousing sermon on the text, quote, for everything there is a season and a time, Ecclesiastes 3:1. Reaching the end of his sermon, he said a solemn prayer and continued to speak, quote, in the language of the Holy Writ, there is a time for all things. There is a time to preach and a time to fight. He paused and then threw off his pulpit robe to reveal the uniform of a colonel in the Continental Army. And now is the time to fight, he thundered, followed by his cry, roll the drum for recruits. The drums rolled, and that same afternoon he marched off at the head of a column of 300 men. Terry, I was just thinking about the preachers. And see, the itinerant preacher, George Whitfield, that we talked about yesterday, and oh my, we have his biography. You will want to read that. This man that God used to preach to this, to unite the colonists, to be one nation under God. And the preachers took up the sermons, and they preached it, and America, the United States of America, was born largely out of what came from the pulpit. And now today, things are so twisted that they want to tell the preachers, you can't even talk in your pulpits about these things. But those preachers, and in those days, you know, that Continental Army, I read about George Washington a lot. And he held everything together. Those were farmers. They heard their preachers preach. They went and marched off and left their families and went to fight, and they weren't even trained as soldiers. And they were going to fight the superpower.
It's amazing. You know, Mom, you were talking earlier and about a time, you know, the Black Robe Brigade. And Patrick Henry, when he was in the Virginia legislature, and they were divided. Mm-hmm. On which way they were going to go, whether they were going to live like they were and let England do these sorts of things to them, as you all know, taxation without representation, or just, they said they would just take them prisoner right there for no reason. And of course, they heard from both sides of the aisle, but now it was Patrick's turn. And in case you don't know what Patrick was like, he was like a preacher. They said he was fiery in his voice. And when he got up, everything just got real quiet. And he said before that legislature, is this what we're going, the glorious heritage that our ancestors, when they came across that ocean to escape persecution from practicing our faith in God, is this what we're going to settle for? He says, I don't know about you, but we have a glorious heritage. And right now, you know, he said something of this effect. I know that they're looking from the heavens to see what we're going to do. And it's it. And he said, as far as me, as you know the story, I think he said, give me liberty or death.
Give me liberty or give me death.
And that persuaded. And you know he was influenced by Whitfield.
Oh, yes. And the Black Robe Brigade.
You know he had all that in him.
Yes.
To have that fire in him. But you can see where that transferred from God to those men, to politicians, to the soldiers. And it's just what a heritage.
You were talking about George Washington. And Terry, before he ever became president, he was the head of the Continental Army. They were farmers. They were poorly equipped. They weren't trained. And they didn't get paid. And their wives and children were back home. Can you talk a little bit about Valley Forge?
Well, they just...
I know you've studied it.
Well, in my remembrance, they just lost Philadelphia. And the England had surrounded it. And that was their supply. And now they found themselves in that winter of 1777 and 78 with no food, no clothing, bloody footprints in the snow that y'all had read about. They didn't even have, a lot of them didn't have boots.
They wrapped their feet in rags.
You would hear them cry at night, begging for food. If you can imagine this scene, this is your army. This is your heritage. Dying out there. And I'm sure, Mom, that George Washington had went through all his training of what to do. But even he said, if something doesn't change, the army is going to fail right here. And I believe, Mom, I could just see him in that famous painting where he bowed his knee. I think he did. I don't think he knew what to do. His training had run out. Mm-hmm. He called upon the God that called America and the, you know, the immigrants to come to this nation in the first place. And God answered him there. And you know, he appointed a soldier by the name of Green, as I remember, and to try to find supplies. And miraculously, even on the internet, I think they used the word like magic.
Magically.
Yeah, magically. He found things. That was God answering
the
prayers.
Surely.
And then he sent this man by the name of Baron von Steuben.
Baron von Steuben.
From Germany.
Yes.
That knew how to fight. Mm-hmm. Was one of the best in training to fight. He didn't know the English language, but that didn't stop him.
He just came on his own, didn't he?
Yeah. He had a call from God.
Uh-huh.
Just like, you know, a lot of our heritage, unless you're Native American. You know, somewhere God has called us here. All
yes.
of us.
Yes. And he trained them, right?
He trained
that army.
And by the time, while in Valley Forge, they their attitude changed. They said, if we can withstand this, we can withstand anything England can throw at us. And they started getting food, training. George Washington said in his diary, I'm amazed. He said, I watch these guys and they don't have much yet. They're out there training. You know, be encouraged. You know, we Americans are tough and God has seen us through every battle. And he will see us through this one that we're seeing today, Mom.
He will. I am not giving up. I hear sometimes the Christians talking about, oh, America's done for. I don't believe it.
I don't either.
Because he has a destiny for us, and he is stirring up people all around. You can join us every noon, Wednesdays, 12 noon Central Time. We're praying for an awakening, not only in America, but around the world, an awakening to God. I believe we're going to have another great awakening. We're going to have another outpouring. We're going to have a glorious church before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And this week when we are celebrating the Declaration of Independence, and we are doing exactly what was for, I believe that he had the spirit of prophecy on him. This was John Adams when he wrote a letter to his wife, because it was on the second day of July that Continental Congress had voted. It wasn't ratified till the 4th. That's why we celebrate the 4th. The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I'm apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, forevermore. Praise the Lord. I trust that this week you've been inspired to thank God for America, and to do your part in praying and believing for it to reach its destiny. This is Billy Brim and Terry Brim saying, Shalom, shalom. Find a good church to go to and praise God for what he's done in America this weekend in prayer with the brethren. Amen and amen.